So today we're starting the sugya of the unmentioned Yaharik Val Yavars. We discussed Yaharik Val Yavar in terms of the three that the Gemara does mention, but then we have the two that the Gemara does not mention, the two other potential Yaharik Val Yavars. So I want to go through the various sugyas and shas that relate to the two other potential Yaharik Val Yavars. And they are stealing is a potentially Yaharik Val Yavar, and Halbanas Pnei Chaver Brab, embarrassing somebody publicly, is another potentially Yaharik Val Yavar. How do we get to there from Sanhedrin? So in addition to just the general topic of the Gemara identifying three Yaharik Val Yavars and us wanting to know what else is on the list, there is a Gemara that deals almost explicitly with it, and that is the Gemara Nayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin that you saw, source number one, Rodev Shei Rodev Achaveru V'Shiber Asakelim. If Reuven is chasing after Shimon to kill him, and Shimon and Reuven breaks something as he's trying to kill Shimon, so Reuven's going to be potter from paying, because at the moment that he's chasing after Shimon, Reuven is chayiv misa, he's going to be potter from any monetary payment. What if Shimon breaks Kalim? So it depends. If he breaks Reuven's Kalim, well then Shimon is potter. But if he breaks somebody else's Kalim, then Shimon is going to be chayiv to pay for the Kalim. Now that's the key line right there. Here you have Shimon trying to save his own life. He's running away from Reuven. Reuven's trying to kill him. Shimon gets to a point where the only way to save his life is by stepping on Kalim that don't belong to him, stepping on fragile Kalim that don't belong to him, maybe throwing Kalim at Reuven to try to slow him down. Whatever it is, the only way he's going to save his life is by breaking these Kalim. Let's just pick a very simple case. He gets to an end of a hallway where there's no door and there's just a closed window. He doesn't own the building. Someone else owns the building. His only chance is to jump through the window, to break the window. So when Shimon jumps through that window and saves his own life by jumping through that window, the Gemara over here in Sanhedrin discusses, does he have to pay the owner of the building the money for the window? And the Gemara says, yes, he has to pay for the window. What the Gemara does not discuss is whether Shimon's allowed to jump through the window. It discusses whether he's chayiv or not to pay, but it doesn't discuss whether he's permitted to jump through the window, meaning it's feasible, it's possible, that the halacha would say that as soon as Shimon gets to the window, he's got to say, turn around and say, all right, Reuven, you got me. I'm done. I can't do anything else. And let himself get killed rather than jump through the window. And the raya to that is, you see, when he jumps through the window, he's chayiv. He's chayiv to pay. When are you chayiv for hezek? When it's an isser of hezek, when you did something wrong by being mazik. Or no, maybe you could say, no, it's totally mutter for him to jump through the window. He has to pay because he cost the building owner some money. And the chiyuv of paying when you're mazik has nothing to do with the iser of hezek. It could be that it's mutter to be mazik in certain situations, but that doesn't necessarily take away your chiyuv to pay. Even when it's mutter to be mazik, if at the end of the day, bottom line, you cost somebody money, you need to reimburse them the money that you cost them, whether you did any iser at all. There is a major discussion in the Achronim where we even learn that there is an iser to be mazik. Who says there's any issue to be mazik? Maybe it's just the Torah tells you when you're mazik, you have to pay. But you could choose to be mazik and then pay. How do we even know that in general there's an issue to be mazik? So we generally assume there is an issue to be mazik. But there are certain circumstances where there may not be an issue to be mazik. And nevertheless, you still have to pay. Yeah.
Is it clear at all whether it's accidental or
non-purpose? The breaking of the kalim? It's not clear because an adamu ad liolam, it doesn't make a difference. A person damages, doesn't make a difference. Bein b'shogi, bein b'mezi, bein bonus, bein b'ratzon, he always has to pay. The person is always responsible to pay for his damages. The only exception being if it's if he went to sleep and then someone put kalim next to him and he broke them in his sleep. But even if he goes to sleep and then and the kalim were there when he went to sleep and then he breaks the kalim, he would have to pay in that case. An adam is more the olam, he would have to pay anyway. So our Gemara in Sanhedrin never discusses whether stealing is Yaharik Val Yavar, whether damaging, whether costing somebody else money is Yaharik Val Yavar. It just doesn't come up in our Gemara. The major sugya where it does come up is Baba Kama Daf Samach. Says Gemara Baba Kama. Rav Huna Amar, it's describing the story that the Navi has of David HaMelech facing a field of barley and somehow sending a shaila to the Sanhedrin about what he's allowed to or not allowed to do, and the Sanhedrin telling him that the rule is X for anybody else, but Y for you, because you're the king, so you get to do different things that other people don't get to do. So exactly the details of the story is the subject of Machlokas Amoraim. So Rav Huna says the story goes like this. Gedishim Desorim D'Yisrael Havadav Mitri Plishna Behu. The Palestinian terrorists were hiding in these bundles of barley. And David needed to burn them out of their hiding places. He was going to get killed if they had good hiding places. Terrorists do that; they hide really well, and you're not going to be able to know when they're coming, and they could kill him. So the coming by Eli, so David asked the Shaila, "Ma'ol lahatzilatzma b'mamun chaveru? I don't own these bundles of barley; they belong to another Jew. Am I allowed to burn down the whole field so that will burn out the terrorists from their hiding places? But that's going to be costing somebody else a lot of money, right? I'm going to be burning someone else's stuff." So shalchulei asur lahatzilas b'mamun chaveru. They said it's asur. Aval ata melechata, but you're king and you could do whatever you want because you're the king. So you get to choose to do whatever you want. So Rashi understands the Gemara kipshuto. I think kipshuto, right? The way the question was phrased in the Gemara is mahu lahatzilas b'mamun chaveru, which means typically, what's the din? Am I allowed to or am I not allowed to save my life by burning down someone else's stuff? Very straightforward, right? He's asking, am I allowed to steal in order to save my life? And the answer is, you're allowed to, but no one else is allowed to. You're a king, so you can do it. No one else can do it. That's how Rashi understands the question. Very, very straightforward. Tosus, however, totally changes the question. If you look at Tosus, Ma'al lahatzel asum lamun chaveru, says Tosus, his shaila wasn't, am I allowed to or am I not allowed to? His shaila was, do I have to pay for it? I'm going to do it. I'm going to burn down this field because I need to save my life. I'm not going to lose my life over this. That's the giving. Question is, when I do that, am I going to have to pay for it? And the answer is, you won't have to pay for it because you're the king. But anybody else in your position would obviously burn down the field and then would have to pay for it. Which fits very nicely with our Gemara Sanhedrin, that if you're matzal asma mamun chavero, you're chayv l'shalim, you have to pay for it. That's great. But Tosfos understands that that was the whole shayla, that it's a non-starter to ask, am I allowed to burn down the field? Why is it a non-starter? Why does he not even have to ask the shayla? It's pikuach nefesh, so it's not one of the three harig val yavars, so it's open and shut. Of course you're allowed to burn down the field to save your life, right? It's an open and shut case. So the problem with Tosfos is that it doesn't fit the words of the Gemara very well at all, because the response that David HaMelech got, according to the Gemara, was not paterata, or not chayiv ela melechata. It was aser lahatzil atzmo mamun chavero ela melechata. If David HaMelech was asking a dinim mamunis shaila, Dinim Mamunis comes in, the responses come in two forms. Chayiv, Pater. Do I have to pay the money? Chayiv, yes. Pater, you don't have to pay the money. Isser v'heter, what behavior, what am I allowed to do, comes in the response of Aser Mutter. Right? The response over here was Aser. You're not allowed to save yourself with somebody else's money. Doesn't sound like that means you're allowed to save yourself with somebody else's money. It's just that you don't have to pay. It doesn't fit the words of the Gemara at all. Yeah?
My
other kasha was, according to Tosfos, David sends back an urgent message from the battlefield. Gotta ask the Sanhedrin the Shaila. I need to know how to proceed. So if the shaila is, am I allowed to burn down the field? Okay, good. He needs to ask that shaila right now because he needs to know how to proceed in this battle. But if he's already decided he's burning down the field and his whole shaila is, am I going to have to pay it back later or not? Ask the shaila later. Just burn down the field. Why is this an urgent message that has to come from the battlefield? So what are you going to say that? He wants to make sure he could afford it first. He's a king. He'll figure it out. Raise taxes. He'll be able to afford it. I mean, come on. He should be able to figure this out. Very, very difficult, according to Tosfos. But if you think about it, according to Rashi, it's difficult also. Because, think about this response they told him. They said, the halacha is that it's really aser, but you're a melech, so it's mutter. Did David not get the rule book on his first day in office, like what a king's allowed to do? He really, honestly, he didn't know what Kol Barbe Rav D'Chad Yoma, anyone who studied Navi in elementary school, who studied the Sefer Shmuel Aleph, really, that a king is allowed to do a whole bunch of interesting things, especially monetarily. He didn't know this. He had no idea that as a king he's entitled to do this. He really needs to ask this Shaila in so obviously he did know. What was he asking? He was asking the Shaila as what would the halacha be about other people? Of course, I'm allowed to do whatever. What's the halacha about other people? And they give him an answer. Anyway, it wasn't urgent. He knew that he was allowed to do this. He had to have known. So even according to Rashi, it's a little shver what the conversation is. Let's say he mamish didn't know. There's a machlokas in the Gemara Sanhedrin that called Amar Parshas Melech, Melech Mutarbo, Melech Asurbo. All the stuff it says in Sefer Shmuel that a Melech is allowed to do. So is that for real, that a Melech is really allowed to do it? Or is it just a scare tactic that Shmuel was using on Klal Yisrael to try to tell them, you sure you want a king? You know what a king's going to be able to do? And he just made up a whole bunch of things that a king's not really able to do to try to scare them off. So it's a machlokas Amarayim. So maybe David HaMelech himself wasn't sure whether all those things that a king's allowed to do, whether he's in fact allowed to do them or not allowed to do them. Okay, maybe he was Masupak, but yeah, according to Tosfos, it's much more difficult. Why is this so urgent that he needs to ask this Shaila right now? So Tosfos really doesn't fit the sugya well at all. Why does Tosfos say this way? Because he thinks the big kasha on the other side outweighs all these little kashas on him. The big kasha on the other side is there are only three Yahrig Valyavars and stealing isn't one of them. So this question of stealing in order to save life happens to be a major ethical issue there's an article written in the RJJ Journal years ago, 1990, by Rabbi Mark Dratch, who at the time was the associate rabbi of KJ. I don't know, anyone know who Rabbi Mark Dratch is? Oh, Marisha, okay. So he wrote this article 20-some-odd years ago in the RJJ Journal, and he starts the article with a fascinating thing. Moral development theorist Lawrence Kohlberg presented the following dilemma. This guy wrote a book called The Psychology of Moral Development, The Nature and Validity of Moral Stages. And he described the following dilemma. In Europe, a woman was near death from a special kind of cancer. There was one drug that the doctors thought might save her. It was a form of radium that a druggist in the same town had recently discovered. The drug was expensive to make, but the druggist was charging 10 times what it cost him to make. He paid $400 for the radium and charged $4,000 for a small dose of the drug. The sick woman's husband, Heinz, went to nothing to do with the ketchup or the other 56 varieties, went to everyone he knew to borrow the money and to try every legal means, but he could only get together about $2,000, which is half of what it cost. He asked him to sell it cheaper or let him pay later. But the druggist said, no, I discovered the drug, and I'm going to make money from it. So having tried every legal means, Heinz gets desperate and considers breaking into the man's store to steal the drug for his wife. Should Heinz steal the drug? So this is the major ethical issue, and based on your responses to that, is it ethical to break in to save your wife's life, to steal the drug to save your wife's life? Is it not ethical to do? So based on their responses, you figure out where people draw the line of, you know, what lines they're willing to cross in what types of situations, right? But this is a halachic shayla. So what does the Torah say about this? So on the surface, machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi would say the halacha is Asur, not allowed to break in and steal something in order to save somebody else's life. Whereas Tosfos would say, Mutter. For sure, Mutter. It's just a question of whether you have to pay it back, and the answer is you do have to pay it back. Now, you might argue, well, wait, in Heinz's case, he doesn't have the money. He's not going to be able to pay it back. So when we say that it's Mutter to do, you just have to pay it back, does that mean there are two ways to learn that? Tosfos says that the Shaila is, David was definitely going to do it, just Shaila is whether he's going to have to pay it back. Does that mean that it's mutter to do al tanai that you pay it back? It's only mutter if you pay it back? Or that there are two separate Shailas here? Is the Shaila if it's mutter to do? Answer, yes, it's mutter to do. Separate Shaila, do you have to pay it back? The answer is, yes, you have to pay it back. If you don't have the money, you'll work on it. But whether you're going to burn the field down is not a Shaila. You're going to do that whether you can pay it back or not. That's just done. You have to do that to save your life. And then, am I going to pay it back later? That's a separate Shaila. Will I pay it back later? The answer is, I should try, and I have to, and if I don't have the money, so then I'm violating that halacha. But my inability to pay shouldn't stop me from saving my life. Right? Those are the two ways to look at it. Yeah.
It always becomes
Yeah, but let's say it's $5 million, and you're not worth that. You know, there is a number that you're not going to be able to get. The rest of my life, I'm not going to make, you know, whatever it is, $5 million. So it's not going to. I'm never going to be able to pay it back. So what would the halacha be in that situation? So if Baba Kama Daf Samach were the only source for this issue, and the Machlok Rash Tosus were the only source, so we'd probably be Nota a little more to Tosus' side. Because, come on, we have Gemaras in Sanhedrin all about Yaharik Valyavar, and the Gemaras are very clear about Yaharik Valyavar, and what is and isn't Yaharik Valyavar. So to have one Agada to Gemara in Baba Kama about David HaMelech dealing with fields, you know, A, it's an Agada to Gemara, and B, you know, you always have Tosfos, you know, so like, it would be hard to say that Rashi's understanding, even though it's the Pasha Pshat, of an Agada to Gemara in Baba Kama, is going to outweigh everything else we know about Yaharik Valyavar and all of Shas. Right? We'd probably be noted at Tosfos as hard as it is to read into the Gemara itself in Baba Kama, especially considering it's an Agada to Gemara. But it's not the only Gemara. So Gemara in Meseches Ksuvos, not an Agada to Gemara. The Mishnah in Ksuvos Taf Yechesem Beis discusses, let's say you have a shtar. Shtar says Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. Good? And there it's signed, Levi and Yehuda are signed on the bottom of the shtar. So we go to Levi, we need to be Mekayim the shtar. We need to make sure the shtar is not forged. So we go to Levi and Yehuda, we say, are those your signatures? And Levi and Yehuda say, absolutely yes, those are our signatures. Oh yeah, but one thing. Notice it's written in crayon and half the letters are backwards. We were 3 years old when we signed those shtaros. So it was our signatures, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything. We were three. So we didn't know we were signing. Or, they say, and there's more nogea to us, anusim hayinu. Yes, those are our signatures. We remember clearly when we signed it. We'll never forget the day that we signed those signatures because there were guns held to our heads telling us to sign falsely on that shtar or else we wouldn't get killed. So yeah, you bet those are our signatures. Nothing in that shtar is true, but those are our signatures. So what's the halacha? Are they believed to say that the shtar is an invalid shtar, even as they're telling us that those are in fact their signatures? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says they're Neman, they're believed. And the Gemara quotes Machlokas Tanaim, where Rabbi Meir says they're not believed. And the Chum say they are believed. So the Gemara says, what's Pshat? Why in the case where they're saying that they're honest, would Rameir say we don't believe them? I mean, they're saying there was a gun held to their head, and that's why they signed this false document. Why wouldn't we believe them? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, about 4 lines before the end of the passage, Kasav Rav Meir, Eidim Shamar Lehem Chis Mushaker, Val Tehargu, Yehargu Valyacht Mushaker. If Eidim are given the option, sign falsely on this document that says Reuven owes Shimon $10,000, or we will kill you, well, die, don't get killed. Don't sign falsely. Better to die, better to get killed, rather than to sign falsely on the document. And that's why Rameir doesn't believe them. Because if they're saying that they signed falsely, rather than get killed, they're saying they're Rishayim. They're saying that they did an act of Rishus, and Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. They're not believed to say that they're Rishayim. So what does Rav Meir hold? Stealing, apparently, is Yaharik Valyavar. Signing falsely, which is stealing in this case, is Yaharik Valyavar. That's Rav Chisda's understanding of Rav Meir. Very challenging line comes up next. Amrle Rava, so Rava says, what do you mean? How can you say that Rav Meir holds that it's better to get killed rather than sign a shtar falsely? Meaning, what are you saying? You're saying retrospectively, 10 years later, this shtar walks into Beis, and this shtar comes into Beis, and we need to figure out if it's valid or not. And they're telling us, oh yeah, 10 years ago, we had guns to our head, and we signed it falsely. So, says Rav Chisra, Meir holds, we don't believe you, that's an act of rishus. It's an act of rishus to sign it falsely. Let's say he wasn't 10 years ago. Let's say right now, people had guns to their heads, and they were told to sign a shtar falsely. And they said, hang on, just 1 second, before I decide whether I want to take the bullet or sign the shtar, I just want to text my rabbi. And they text the rabbi, Rabbi, what do I do? Should I sign the shtar or not? So what would you tell them if you're the rabbi, says Rava? Obviously you would tell them to sign. You're not going to tell them to take the bullet. So why is that called that they're making themselves a Russia when it's 10 years later? Retrospectively, why should that be a Russia? Saying that they did what you would have told them to do had they asked. So they did the right thing. So you think that makes them a Russia? Doesn't make any sense. Says Rava. If they would ask us a shayla, we would tell them to sign it, not get killed. How do I know that? There are only three Yarek Val Yavars. Signing a shtar falsely is not one of the Yarek Val Yavars. So now that they did exactly what we would have told them to do, so we're going to start nitpicking and saying, oh, why did you do that? They did the right thing. So that must be that there's a different reason why Rameir doesn't believe them. Okay, fine. Some other reason. What's the Shakla Vitari here? Rav Chista says, stealing is Yaharg Val Yavar. Says Rava, come on. If someone asks you a Shaila, should I steal or should I get killed? You know what you would answer them. You would tell them to steal. What's Rav Chista's response going to be? Rav Chista's response is going to be like, were you listening? I just told you stealing is Yaharg Val Yavar. How can you tell me that if they were to come, oh yeah, of course we're going to tell them that they should steal rather than get killed. No, I would not tell them. I would tell them to get killed rather than steal. What kind of raya is this? Rava says, it sounds like Rava is saying, retrospectively, I understand you're saying it's Yaharg Val Yavar, but prospectively, you would never say that. What do you mean? Yes, I would. What kind of kasha is that? The whole Shakta Vitari is very strange. So based on how we understand Rav Chista's understanding of Rameir and Rava's understanding of Rameir, that's going to lead us down a path that's going to tell us what to do in Heinz's dilemma. Right? Or what to do in Baba Kaba Daf Samach or Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet. I'm running away from Reuven, he's trying to kill me, and I get to the end of the hallway and there's that window. Should I jump through the window? Should I not? It's all going to be tully in how we understand Rav Chista and Rav over here. Assuming that you hold like Rav Meir. If you hold like the Chum, it's a non-starter. If you hold like the Chum, so you don't get killed. You lose the money. Within Shitas Rav Meir, you steal the money rather. Within Shitas Rav Meir is the whole issue. So, Shita Mugbetz over here has, I think, you can identify four approaches to understanding this Gemara. The first two the first two paragraphs are, I think, one approach. It's just one is a little more elaborate than the other. He quotes several Rishonim. First he quotes the Ramban, then the Ra'ah, the Rashba, the Ra'ah again, the Ritva. So first the Ramban. He says, of course the halacha is that there are only three Yaharg Val Yavars. Rav Chista also agrees there are only three Yaharg Val Yavars. You don't have to take a bullet. You can steal rather than take a bullet. But, here's the key, it's a midas chasidus to take the bullet rather than to sign falsely. It's the right thing to do. It's not the required thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. Retrospectively, if you say, looking back at it, you know what? We had the gun to our heads. We were faced with the pressure. We signed falsely rather than take the bullet. What you're saying is, I did the halachically acceptable thing, but it was the wrong thing. It was halachically acceptable, but it wasn't the moral high ground. Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha means, and here's the great chiddush, not just that a person is not believed to say he did something halachically unacceptable, it means a person is not even believed to say that he did something morally repugnant. Morally not even repugnant, morally wrong. That he failed in a midas chasidus. That you're not even believed to say that. That you failed in a midas chasidus. It's quite a chiddush. What you need to figure out is, why is it that ein adam meisim atzmo rasha? Why is a person not believed to make themselves a rasha? To say that they did something wrong, they did something terrible? So, any svara? What? Why is it that ein adam meisim atzmo rasha, that a person is not believed to say that they're a rasha? Why wouldn't they believe them? I mean, they're rishonim all over the place. Right, a guy walks into to a police station and says, "I just murdered three people. You could find their bodies here, here, and here." So he'd be like, "Sorry, sir, we don't believe you. Have a nice day." Because what?
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. But he's telling you, he's telling you he's a Russian. The guy's coming in, he's admitting that he's a Russian, so he's obviously not embarrassed. Why don't we believe him? Yeah?
It's like a steer up. Like, he's coming to say he's a Russian, but he is a Russian, so you can't believe him.
Ah, so he's saying, Lishitaso, you can't believe him. Right? Lishitascha, that you're a Russia, you have no ne'emanus. So how can we possibly believe you? Why?
He didn't have to
say it. Reggie didn't have to say it, but why should that necessarily mean that we believe him? I don't know, I always thought the svar was something like what Evan said, that Lishitascha, you're a Russia, so we can't believe you. If a guy fails in the Midas Chasidus, is he Pasul Eidus? A guy, let's say, I don't know, name Midas Chasidus. Tikkun Chatzos. The guy doesn't do Tikkun Chatzos. Excellent. Is he Pasul Eidus? Hope not. It'd be tough to find a day Kiddushin outside of the old city. So is he Pasul Eidus? He's not Pasul Eidus. So if the whole Svar Veda of the Mesa Masma Russia is Lishitascha, you're a Russia, we can't believe you anyway, well then why would Eino the Mesa Matzmo Eino Chassid? Person can't make himself an Eino Chassid. It would be a little difficult, right? It could just be Adam Karavetz al Atzmo. It's not Lav Dafkein of the Mesem Atzmo Rashi. He can't make himself a Tzaddik either. Right? It's a Chiddush that he can't make himself a Rashi. He's just a Karavetz al Atzmo. He's not believed to say anything about himself. Right? In which case, it makes sense that Midas Chassidus also. To say that he failed in a Midas Chassidus also, we don't believe him. That's how the Ramban and Ra'ah understand what's going on in the Gemara. That Rav Chista, of course, would not say that stealing is Yahrig Val Yavar. It's not Yahrig Val Yavar. You're allowed to steal rather than get killed. But it's not the moral high ground. It's not the Midas Chasidus. Midas Chasidus is to get killed. What's troubling about that? In general, when name something else that's not Yahrig Val Yavar. Any other Averas, not Yahrig Val Yavar. Shatness. What is that we said? Shatness? Shatness. For some reason, I always give that as an example. Maybe that's why we both. Shatness. So let's say someone says, listen, you wear shatness or you die. And you say, I will not wear shatness, I'd rather die. Did you do the right thing? Are you a chassid or are you a shota? Did you do good or did you do bad?
Depends
on what? Oh, farhesia or not. Okay, let's say it's not farhesia. It's private. No one's ever going to see you. So you're a shota, right? Who says so? Rambam says so. If you look in source number 13, Rambam, Yisod HaTorah Perakei Halacha Aleph. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuven Al Kiddush Hashem Hagadol Azeh Shnemer V'Nitashli B'Soch B'nei Yisrael. Every Jew is Mechuyav in Kiddush Hashem. U'Musharin Shlo L'Chal Lo Shnemer V'Laschal Lo Hashem Kochi. Ketzad Kish Yamer Ovid Chab V'Yanos As Yisrael Lavar Alachs Mikol Nesomurus B'Torah O Yahargenu. If a guy says you have to violate a mitzvah or I will kill you, Ya'avar Ve'Al Yaharik, violate the mitzvah, don't get killed. Shnemer Mitzvah Shere Yaseh Osam Ha'adam V'Chai Behem. Supposed to live by the mitzvahs. V'chai ben v'lo shiyamus ben. V'imeis v'lo avar harei zeh mischayev b'nafsho. And if you get killed rather than wear the shatness, you have just committed suicide. That is a terrible thing to do. So what's the problem here? We say, okay, stealing is not Yahrig Val Yavar. It's not Yahrig Val Yavar. You're allowed to steal rather than get killed. But, says the Ramban, Midas Chasidus. Midas Chassidus? What are you talking about? If I'm allowed to steal rather than get killed, isn't it suicide to get killed? Why is that a Midas Chassidus? It's Pashut suicide. Very, very difficult. Unless you touch it up that it's Farhesia. But it doesn't say that. What do you mean? What was the case in the Gemara? In Ksuvas? What? You're signing on a shtar, and it's in a Beis Din. And there are witnesses, there are judges. It's a matter of written record. So maybe that would have a din of Farhesia. What this would be telling on may be what the definition of Farhesia is. How much is Farhesia? How many people is Farhesia? Remember we discussed in the Temin al-Akhshir about women covering their hair in public? Right? What's called public, what's called private? How many people? Look at Tepper, because he remembers all the time. Yes, he does remember. Or we're going to discuss later. Malbim pnei chaveiro birabim, maybe Yaharik val yavar, to publicly embarrass him. What if you just privately embarrass somebody? So maybe that's not Yaharik val yavar. We have to define what is called embarrassment. Does it have to be 10 people in the room? Does it have to be 3 people in the room? What's the definition of public embarrassment? Okay, these are all... But at least to say the Ramban is not Pashut. What the Ramban says is not Pashut. That to say that it's a Midas Chassidus is not so Pashut. Because it could be that it's suicide. It's not a Midas Chassidus. So the Ra'ah, to sort of help out the Ramban, says, no, that's exactly the point. Rav Chista's great Chiddush is that even though, typically speaking, when the Halacha is Yavar Val Yahareg, it's suicide to get yourself killed. Stealing isn't Yarek Val Yavar, it's still Yavar Val Yarek, but the great Chiddush about stealing is that it's not called suicide when you get yourself killed, it's a Midas Chassidus. That it's mutter to be knowing such a Midas Chassidus. And that's what Rava responds to Rav Chista, and he says, and if you fail to be knowing that Midas Chassidus, it's called Mesem Atzmo Rasha? That you didn't do that Midas Chassidus? Good. That's the Ramban. Second approach is also the Ramban. Ramban quotes another approach. Is he finds a Braisa Chitzonis. I don't know if it's Yushalmi or Tosefta. He finds a Braisa Chitzonis that says Shlosh Dvarim Ein Oldim V'Nei Pikuach Nefesh V'Elu Hein Avod Zor Gil Raya Shvich Zom Rameir Omer Afagezel. What? Convenient, right? I found the Braisa. No one else knows where it is. No. He has a Braisa Chitzonis that Rameir says explicitly, Afagezel. The Gezel is also Yaharik Val Yavar. What that doesn't help us with is the Shakla Vitaria of this Gemara. Then. Good. So Rav Chista is saying Rameir holds that Gezel is also Yaharik Val Yavar. And what? Rava just can't believe it? What's Rava's Kasha? Come on, Rav Chista. You would tell the guy to sign falsely. No, he wouldn't. We'd still be stuck with that kasha. And in fact, the Shittim Gebetzes later quotes from the Ritva that exact problem. If you look at the last paragraph of the Shittim Gebetzes from the Ritva in the second line, he quotes that literal understanding of Rameir, that it's Yarg Val Yavar. V'zeh teima gadol! Meheichan shamina le Rameir ha dal ed yamrina b'kol duchtu l'divrei ha'kol she'en l'chadav shom v'vim b'kol nefesh l'vot zor g'il ha'shuk z'dabim. Kasha number one is, how can you make a fourth Yarek Val Yavar? Doesn't exist anywhere in Masech Sanhedrin. And kasha number two is our kasha, v'su. De'im kein, mai haida hadrina, de'ilu osu l'kaman amirin l'uzilu v'chasum v'lo titkulu. What was Rava's kasha? If the guy would ask a shayla, you tell him to sign. No, he wouldn't. What? Who would tell you not to sign? Who would tell you to sign not get killed? The Rabbanan, the Chachamim. How's that a kash on Rameir, though? Rameir would tell you to get killed. Why is this a kash on Rameir? So he quotes, V'yesha pir shudach of Midas Chassidus kamrinan. And some say, no, this is all Midas Chassidus. We already had that answer. No, he adds a little bit of a different twist. The Ritva adds a different twist. Tzimitzus Chasidus, not in reality, in the guy's mind, it's Tzimitzus Chasidus. People think it's Tzimitzus Chasidus to get killed rather than to sign a shtar falsely. Really, they're idiots, because you're supposed to sign a shtar falsely to save your life. It's not one of the Arug Valiavars. But since people think it's Tzimitzus Chasidus, it's going to be enough to make it that Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, that a person is not believed to make himself a Rasha, because a person is not believed to make himself not do what he thinks is a Midas Chasidus, an even bigger Chiddush in Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. And that's all Rav Chisda was saying. And Rav said, come on, if the guy would ask a Shaila, everyone knows that we would tell him the halacha is Yavor Val Yahari. What's Pshat in Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, if this is the way you understand Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha? Not just that a guy's not namin about himself. That a sane person doesn't say things that reflect poorly on him. That he thinks reflect poorly on him. He wouldn't go into a Beis Din. A normal person wouldn't go into a Beis Din and say things that would reflect poorly on him. So he's not believed to say anything that reflects poorly on himself. It's not a normal thing to do. He's not of sound mind when he's saying something like that. So even if it doesn't really reflect poorly on him, but he thinks it reflects poorly on him, he's not sane. Yeah? No. Because there's a difference between saying something derech tshuva and saying something derech punish me. So you don't go to Beis Din necessarily derech tshuva. Because what's his game over here? What's his goal? He wants to get Malkus. They're not going to give him Malkus. Right? They're not going to, on demand. Beis Din doesn't give Malkus on demand. He wants to get Kapari. He should daven to Hashem and, whatever. Maybe fast or do whatever. Tshuvas HaMishkal. We don't do that anymore. But, there used to be all sorts of exercises a person would put himself through when he was really sincerely looking for tshuva. Similar to this, the Ra'ah, similar to the Ritva, says it's just that it's not that it's a halacha. The halacha is Yavar Val Yaharek. It's kol kach mechur beinehem. Eidus Sheker is something that was so disgusting that it was minaka olam to give yourself up rather than to sign falsely. Halachically, no. Minaka olam. Similar to this idea of Midas Chasidus. But the advantage of the way the Ra'ah phrases it as Minaga Olam is that it doesn't have to be the right thing. Midas Chasidus means it's the ideal. But we saw in the Rambam, it's never ideal to give your life up when you're not supposed to give your life up. So the way the Ra'ah phrases it is, it's not ideal, and it's just that's what people did. So that's what people did. Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha would even cover that. Someone wouldn't say something that reflects poorly on himself. All right, so those are the different understandings of that Gemara. There is another Gemara that also seems to indicate that stealing might be Yahar Gval Yavar, but it's also in a bit of an agadic context, Baba Kama Daf Pei. Maybe we'll take a look tomorrow, which is source number 7. I then have a whole bunch of sources about Malam Pnei Chaver Bram, but I want to skip those and come back to it. So maybe, if tomorrow morning during Seder, go through number 7 and then 13, 14, 15, 16. And we'll work from there. And then 18. 13, 14, 15, 16, and then 18. That will be our goals for tomorrow, to get to that Benicium. Okay.